I mean, how could you not love them instantly? And they didn't even have probably their best, not probably their best offensive kid.
I was like, in the alternate universe, I said, Caleb Shawn is watching this. And guys, we're fine.
They've done this before. They did this. I mean, they've done it to great teams before. So it's just like, I don't even know if that's really a big win for him.
He is a leader on defense. I mean, this kid has a motor, man. I mean, you can just tell he gets into the game and he starts to defend and everybody just kind of rallies behind him. He's just, he's their leader. Like, he's everything for them.
He's him.
He's him.
What is up, Arizona high school basketball fanatics? Welcome back to the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. Your other host, Reyes, is here with me as always. And we got an awesome episode in store for you. It's a brand new week, which means we got a brand new top 10. There was a ton of games that went on over Thanksgiving. Reyes did his best to try to keep a record as far as how many wins the small ball teams had against bigger schools. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And then we're also going to preview some games for this week. But before we do any of that, Reyes, quick question, dude. How much weight do you think you put on over Thanksgiving, dude?
Dude, the amount of weight I put on over Thanksgiving is pretty wild, dude. Emily's family did what they usually do every year. They show out for Thanksgiving. It was amazing. Good food. Really good food. Yeah, stuff, man. You know what got to me really, though? It's the rolls. Honestly, the rolls for Thanksgiving is usually what gets me, dude. They're just so good.
I feel like the rolls make or break
Thanksgiving.
The dinner, honestly. I think they're a huge deal.
I agree with you. Hashtag I agree, man. If your rolls suck, dude, you might as well just drop dead.
Yeah. So, I mean, we hope you guys all had a great Thanksgiving. We talked about this a little bit on our previous Patreon from last week on our live post game show. And, you know, Reyes, this is the first time that we ever did a live post game show. I mean, I know I did it, but you helped with some stuff too. And I'm excited to do the next one, man. That was a lot of fun. If you guys have not checked out our Patreon yet, there's so much awesome content on there. And if you are Arizona small ball fanatics, I promise you, you're going to love it. And maybe one of these days, Reyes will be able to hop on a live stream, which scares me because, you know, you not being able to be edited is actually terrifying to me.
It's a little scary, man. It can get dicey for sure, man. It can get dicey, but I was pretty upset that I couldn't make it. You know, it is what it is, though. What can you do?
Yeah, let's get into our top 10. Okay, let's break this thing down because there are some differences in our top 10, some shifts. Let's start with the 3A. Okay, let's just start with saying this. Okay, so 1 through 3 stayed the same, I think, for both of us, right, with the 3A. So we got Valley Christian, Gilbert Christian, Yuma Catholic number 3. I think you had Yuma Catholic number 3 as well, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And then ALA Ironwood for me, I have at number 4. That's continuing still. And I'm starting from the top and going to the bottom because most of the shifts are on the bottom. ALA Ironwood, and kind of as we talk about these teams, we'll talk about how they did in a lot of these Thanksgiving tournaments, and then we'll kind of talk about their record. But ALA Ironwood is number 4 for me, and they had a great Thanksgiving tournament. They went 3-1 at the Valley Christian Classic, and a huge shout out to Jack Edgerton too, who had 33 points in a game, setting the school single game scoring record for ALA Ironwood. So huge shout outs to him. That's awesome. I really love ALA Ironwood right now, and I think you have them at 4 as well, right?
Correct, man. Yeah, they're trending on the upwards for me. So on mine, I still have them at 4, but they had a tremendous Thanksgiving week.
So let's talk about this, right? Because we've got to be real for a second. Like, you have been penned as the biggest ALA Ironwood hater that there is. And I think rightfully so.
Am I dubbed as the biggest hater?
I think you are. And if we're being honest, behind closed doors, you had some doubts about ALA Ironwood. And I feel like they really showed out for you. Am I wrong?
Dude, you are so wrong, bro. That's
how
crazy.
Am I wrong? You said that.
What is up with you trying to set me up lately, dude? You've been.
I'm
on
not
like
trying
my,
to do anything.
Bro,
you've been done that yourself.
On my, you've been preying on my downfall here, guys. Your 4-star general has been preying on your 5-star general's downfall. And honestly, we're just not here for it, big dog.
That's some Patreon talk for those of you guys who are not part of the army. But ALA Ironwood really showed out this weekend or this week. Really like what they got going on. Do you think that they're still a contender for the 3A Reyes?
Who, Ironwood?
Yes.
Bro, they're absolutely contenders, man, especially after this week, man. They had a really great showing. All their guards, Jack Edgerton, Chapman, and all them. Is it Chapman, right? Is that how you say his name?
Chapman is one of them.
And then Wiggins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Great week for them. Shouts out to Coach Nick over there doing what they need to do, man. I know I'm still dubbed the biggest hater, rightfully so. So, I mean, it is what it is, dude, but I have not been praying on their downfall. I've actually been really liking what I've been seeing.
Okay, and then we got number 5 at Palo Verde. I think we both have them at 5 as well, right?
Correct, dude.
Okay, so we both got them at number 5. Palo Verde also showed out this week, man, at their tournament. They did a really good job. The All the Smoke Tour is in full swing now. And a huge shout out to Daniel Ortiz. In one of their games over Flowing Wells, they won 55-33. Daniel Ortiz had 23 points and 11 rebounds. That's a ton of rebounds for a guard. If you don't know this, Daniel Ortiz is a guard for them. He can shoot the ball and really put the ball on the floor as well. But 11 rebounds is really impressive. And I feel like kind of showcases the toughness of this team, that these guards aren't just kind of finesse players, although they can do that. Man, they get in there, they roll their sleeves up, they can get into the nitty gritty.
Man, Palo Verde is the nitty gritty, man, of the Dirty South, man. They really embrace it. They embrace the dirty team. They have the toughness. They have the grit. Coach Smith, like I said, All the Smoke Tour is in full effect. I'm super excited. I just can't wait to see what's next for them, man. Like I said, I hope they keep climbing upwards, let's just say.
And we can get into this now if you want, but the Palo Verde Push Ridge matchup is going to be a lot of fun there in the South. And you got to watch Push Ridge quite a bit. I did too, but that's going to be a fun matchup there.
I agree, man. Especially watching Push Ridge over the weekend too. I actually did like what Push Ridge was doing. We'll dive into that a little bit, man, but that matchup's going to be super fun, especially for the All the Smoke Tour. More fuel.
Would you say that in the 3A South, it's basically between Push and Palo?
As of right now, man, I mean, I think it's safe to say, I think that Tank Verde, they actually had a pretty decent weekend too. Let's just call it what it is, right? I thought they had a pretty decent weekend.
They had a really rough start though.
They did have a rough start. You're telling me, right? They did bounce back a little bit. Like I said, a lot of their games are against bigger schools, but if you look, they played Sunnyside to a 6-point game, and then they lost to Ironwood Ridge, which also I think is a 5A. They lost 79-62. So, yeah. I mean, I kind of like where Tank Verde is going, but yeah, it's safe to say that Push Ridge and Palo Verde will be battling for the 3A South, man.
Yeah, as of right now, things can change, but right now that's kind of what it seems like. I think we both have number 6, Northwest Christian.
Correct. Oh, right. Wait, actually, let me check just to make sure. No, you have... Oh, wait, Northwest. Yeah, Northwest. I thought you said someone else for some reason. My bad.
Okay. Which, you know, Northwest is an interesting squad. We still haven't seen them in action. And, you know, I think we see them playing this week because I think everybody's playing this week. But it'll be really good to see them in action. For number 7, we got Coolidge. At least I have Coolidge at number 7. And if I remember right, you also. So our 1-7 is pretty similar, I feel like.
Yeah, 1-7 is pretty similar. This is where it gets a little bit different, right?
Yeah, so our last
At your 8, you have Winslow. At my 8, I have Scottsdale. So let's just say that. So you at 8, you have Winslow. At 9, you have Scottsdale. At 10, you have Fountain Hills. For mm-hmm. me, I have Scottsdale at 8, Winslow at 9, and then I have Fountain Hills at 10.
Yeah. So let's talk about, I think, biggest thing. I'm surprised that you bumped Scottsdale up or you left them, which is fine. That's okay. Winslow is kind of shooting through the roof right now for me. I really love how they're playing. Obviously, had that big win over Chinle, knocking them out of our top 10
huge
in that
win.
First week.
Huge
it was awesome.
Win.
Let's take a second and talk about Fountain Hills and why they dropped to 10 for both of us, right? Because that was a game that we did our live stream on. Gilbert Christian faced off against Fountain Hills. Number 2, Gilbert Christian faces off against number 7, number 10, Fountain Hills at the time. And Fountain Hills, for me, was number 7. And I dropped them 3 spots because Gilbert Christian really took care of business against Fountain Hills. We talked about this extensively on our live stream and really broke down a lot of different keys to the game. But this was a game that Gilbert Christian, I felt like, really needed to win, right? I think the ending score of this, I think Gilbert Christian ended up running away with this by 20+. And Gilbert Christian is in a very different spot than Fountain Hills is in right now, right? Gilbert Christian returns a lot of their impact kids from last year. They are, looks like, the favorites to contend and to spoil Valley Christian's three-peat. Whereas on the other hand, Fountain Hills, they lost a lot from last year. And they have Keaton Orr, one of the best players in small ball. But it's going to take a little bit for these other players to kind of come alongside him and kind of get some confidence too. So I still have them in the top 10 because I still really believe they're a top 10 team. I just think there's a lot of separation between number 2 and number 10 with Fountain Hills and Gilbert Christian. I mean, you watched that game and you didn't get to talk about this on the live stream. So, I mean, is there anything you want to say about this game? It was a good one to watch. Maybe not the best for our first live stream because it was, there's a lot of separation, but what are your thoughts?
It was tough, right? Yeah. I think that the overall anticipation for the live stream was great, right? I mean, we thought Fountain Hills was going to be able to put up a better fight. Gilbert Christian, though, to say the least, is just loaded, man. I know I was listening on the live stream as you were talking, and you were
I'm sorry for talking.
You were dogging me. You said that I wasn't keeping stats as we're on the phone together during the game. As I was driving from Camp Verde all the way back to the Valley, you were like, I was like, man, I got home, trying to turn on the live stream. I'm trying to like keep stats. All I know is Keaton Orr, and I'm like, I don't know anybody else because I can't see their numbers.
I will say this for all of you Fountain Hills fans out there, the jerseys in your home jerseys, it's so hard to see the numbers from a live stream camera. I was looking, I was like, yeah, you're right. It's hard.
Yeah. And I was like, is this really like happening right now? I mean, it's cool if it was, for sure. Like, it is what it is, right? But man, I was like, this is just bananas. I was just like, what is popping off right now? But to say the least, you're preying on the downfall, which I did not appreciate. But
I love to do that, dude. I got to, man.
Bro, but we battled through. We persevered. But yeah, overall about the game, enough jokes said. Gilbert Christian was loaded, man. My boy Keon Talgo did what he needed to do. Keaton Orr still did show out. But like I said, I think Fountain Hills, I think they needed a little bit more, right? Defensively, it was kind of a tough matchup. Gilbert Christian, which I didn't realize till watching, they're big, right? They're actually a pretty big team.
They're very big, very physical.
They're very physical, especially with cutters, right? They bump really well. They're just very long and they're active, which I really kind of appreciated as well. And they shot the ball fairly well. I think Fountain Hills, they need someone other than Keaton, or I'm not saying as a whole team, but they just need somebody else to help, somebody else to help them out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What I am kind of loving, though, just as a basketball fan, is watching Keaton Orr kind of handle the ball a little bit. You know, he's got some handles, too. So I like that. But no, look for Fountain Hills. I'm sorry, dude. Go ahead, man. I didn't mean to. Or did you interrupt me? I think you interrupted me.
I think I interrupted you, but I was going to say,
dude. I've been dogging on you. Go ahead.
Bro, you've been dogging on me, dude. But no, I was just going to say, it was actually kind of interesting to see, like, Keaton Orr just kind of showcased what else he can do, right? Because if you think about it, he's kind of known for being a pretty good shooter, which he was, you know, he's great, right? But it was kind of nice to see him kind of put the ball on the ground, shoot a couple of tough middies, some fadeaways, get into the paint, make some very tough finishes in transition, which was really nice to see. So, and like I said, the handles were pretty nice to see as well.
Okay, so don't laugh at me, okay? But my senior year, I was asked to play the center in my basketball team. If you've ever seen me, I'm like 5'10", and I was one of the tallest people on our team, and it kind of helped me expand my game a little bit more. And I'm kind of excited for Keaton Orr because I'm sure he has aspirations to play at the next level. This is going to help expand his game to another level, which I think is really cool. So that was the biggest matchup, and you know they're both going to have – they play similar opponents – but Gilbert Christian goes on to face Santan Charter in the next couple games. And then Fountain Hills goes on. And they will actually face Gilbert Christian again later on in the regular season. So that's going to be fun as well. Yeah, just wanted to talk about that. If you want more on that, we really broke the game down a lot more on the live stream. It's still on Patreon. So check the link in our bio and you can see that. For me, Winslow's 8. I still got Scottsdale at 9. I still think they're a top 10 team, even with the loss of Jacob Weber. They're kind of hovering around there. I want to see them play, but I still think that they've got a lot going on. You have them at 8. And then Reyes, can you go back to yours really quick? Because, you know, on our live stream or on ours, we're looking at like each other's top tens.
Yes.
I have a question for you, dude. I'm not trying to call you out on your top 10, but I kind of am.
Dude, call me out, dude. Let's hear it.
So you had Fountain Hills previously at 10.
I know. Why are they still in?
You didn't drop them at all.
I did not. And I was having some conflictions, right, whether to take them out or keep them in. It's kind of like I truly believe that even though they lost, and I get it, right, they lost and this and that. Against, they lost to number, our number two. I still think they're a top 10 team. I mean, you saw what they did over the weekend. They still were able to pull off some wins. We'll get into it as we get closer to the matches of the week, but there's one team in particular where I thought about throwing them in. They play on Tuesday. They play against Ben Franklin on Tuesday, which I was kind of going back and forth with as to whether to like throw them in or not.
Okay.
But I like Fountain Hills.
I just wanted to call you out on that for a second.
Well, way to call me out there. Well, there's your explanation, buddy.
Okay, let's move on over to the 2A, unless there's anything else you want to say about the 3A top 10.
Not much, man. Like I said, No, Winslow proved us wrong. It's awesome to see.
I know. Like, there's not a whole lot of movement from there. Mainly, you just have, like, those last three spots that there's some movements. And Winslow's brand new but much deserved into our top 10, and they're rolling. So let's get to the 2A. And I think for the 2A, let's go show me yours, and then I want to see mine. And I think there's a lot of similarities.
It's fairly similar, honestly. Okay. I still have nothing really changed for me as far as PC and Rancho. Okay. I think that stayed the same for me. And then obviously our 1 and 2 is different.
Actually, let's talk about this for a second, okay? Because the 2A is loaded. We know this. We've been catching some flack on Instagram. And I'm saying it's me. I haven't had Pima in the top 10.
It's been you, bro.
I know, and I'm fine with that. I want to talk about that for a second, though, because I want to get your honest opinion. And for all of our listeners, I want to know about what you think about this, right? Does someone deserve to be in the top 10, even though – just because they've always been in the top 10 or they've been in the top 10 for as long as you can remember, but they've lost a lot, and there's a lot of other really good teams that are up and coming and new. Does that mean that they should automatically be warranted a spot in the top 10, right? Prime example, we could go to Arizona Sports Network, and they release their rankings, and they always put the previous champion as the number one team. There's no hate on Arizona Sports Network, even though they did block us the very first time that we tagged them.
Bro, hey, but, no, real quick. Hey, no. Hey, don't try to walk past that. Let's talk about that real quick, because we're 4 years into this pod, right?
Are we going to message them at some point and be like, hey, can you unblock us?
This is the thing, right? This is how naive we are about the game, right? When we first got in, we thought that everybody's here to help everybody out. We thought everybody's here to, you know, what our mission was, to just elevate small ball, promote it, this and that. And so, we're following a couple of, no, actually, we didn't follow any accounts. I told you, let's not follow anybody on Twitter.
We tagged them. That's all we did.
We tagged them. We're like, hey, man, because it seemed like they're a pretty big following, this and that. Let's use them. Like, let's tag them and let them know, hey, we're on the map too. Bro, immediately, these freaking – I'm not going to say it, dude, but these little bleepers, bro.
Oh, stop. It's all love. This is all fun and games. It's not fun and games, dude.
Bro. I hope everybody from the Arizona Sports Network, I hope somebody listens to this.
Easy. I guess this is why you're not on the live stream, big dog.
I hope they step on a Lego piece, man. I hope they do, man.
Okay. That's not bad. Yeah, I think they could deserve that, you know. All love, you know.
Their toe. No love. I hope they stub their pinky toe on the freaking wall or door or something, dude.
Coming from me. It's all love, you know, we get it. You'd probably be like, oh, it's annoying. Who is this, like, one, oh, my gosh.
Louie! Louie, what's going on with you, big dog?
I was going to say one-hit wonder. Hey, so, hold on. Quick sidestep, we're going to get right back to this. The other day, were you there at Open Gym when somebody took a shot? And me and all the other coaches in our program, we have a strict, like, no cussing rule. And we're all just sitting there watching, and one of our kids took a shot. And in my head, I was thinking good hit, but then I said good shot. And then I mixed them both together and I just yelled good shit. And everybody on the bench, all the coaches looked at me like, what did you just say? And I was like, oh my gosh, what did I just I didn't mean to say that at all. So that's kind of what happened. I was going to say one hit wonder. But anyways, you know, Arizona Sports Network, for their rankings, they always put the champion number one. And all respect, I disagree with that, you know. I think that if a team loses a bunch of players and a bunch of impact players, and there's a lot of other really good teams, that, you know, that should be taken into account just realistically watching it, right? Like, I think that's giving the most accurate picture of the landscape of the 2A and of sports and everything. So I've been catching some heat from that, and I haven't backed down. As you look on my top 10, Pima is not on my top 10. I'm still up to this week. Are they still going to be on my top 10 by the end of the year? Probably. But right now, I just think there's some other really good teams that are loaded in this top 10, and I feel good about them. So,
but I think that's fair to say, honestly. I have succumbed to peer pressure. I'm one of those guys. So,
but let's take a few years ago, Paige and Winslow, right?
I know. Remember,
Paige and Winslow had been awesome forever, and we kept them out of the top 10. That was our second year of the podcast, and people were like, what are you doing? And like, Paige and Winslow had a couple of really down years, and they're trending upwards now, but they were not top 10 teams. And it's disrespectful to all those other teams to just put them in there because of their logo. Like, that's crazy. That's like saying, let's put Valley Christian number one. It doesn't matter. Like, it's Valley Christian, so they're probably number one. Like, that's not right. So anyways, that's my little rant. For my top 10, obviously I got Santan Charter number one. And, you know, I got to watch them play against Perry this week, which was so freaking fun. I love that.
How funny was it when you texted the group chat, hey, Santan beat Perry? How funny was that?
I know. I texted a group chat of coaches and said, Santan Charter just beat Perry. And everyone was like, why? And I was like, I'm just kidding. No, they didn't. But I will say Santan Charter, I thought, competed really well in that first half. I think it was like a 10-12 point game going into the second half. And then they pulled away in the second half. And, you know, it was funny. I'm like watching this and I'm like, I don't even know who any of these players are on Perry. I know who Koa Pete is just because like it's Koa Pete, but I don't know who any of these other players are. But I know who Bo Burns is. I know who Logan Johnstead is. I know who Kylan. I'm like, dude, those are the real stars in my mind. I don't care about Koa Pete, dude. Like, who cares what he does? I'm worried about the small ball kids.
And the small ball appreciates that, man.
We do. So Santan Charter played great. Perry ended up pulling away, but I mean, it's Perry, you know, and I was really pleased with some of the things I saw from Santan. These guys are not scared of anything. So they're still my number one. Highland Prep is my number two. ALA is my number three. We're going to talk about them a lot this week. And then Phoenix Christian is my number four. They had a great week over at, in their Sunny Slope tournament. They had a huge win over Centennial. They went 3-1 in that Sunny Slope tournament. They took third at that tournament. And, you know, there's a lot of people that have been kind of sleeping on PC. Maybe we're guilty of that as well. But there's going to be some big-time moments early in the season for Phoenix Christian where you just can't look away from them.
Yeah, I think as we get later into the season, man, like I said, the Tommy Randolph excuse is gone, right? I think towards the end of the season, it's going to be kind of hard to deny them what their team actually is and what they are. But they were tough, man. They had a really great week. I'm so excited as we get closer and talk more about these matchups. Like I said, I know we got to finish our top 10, but I'm just saying, man, there is a huge matchup this week that I just can't wait for.
And then for number five, I got Rancho. Six got PCD. And then I think is our 1-6 pretty much the same, if I remember right looking?
For 2A?
Yeah, for 2A, 1-6, so, I think it's all the same.
Yeah, 1-6 is generally the same. And then I have Leading Edge at 7. Mm-hmm. I like what they did. I know this week was kind of like, it was a little bumpy road for them overall. I still think that they are a better team than Glendale. But Glendale has been trending upwards. Round Valley had a pretty tough fall. And then Pima, obviously, like I said, I just kind of have them in there, even though they haven't played yet. I think they open up against Wilcox.
Reyes, I got love for you, dude, but I don't know. I got some problems with your top 10, dude.
Dude, let's rip my top 10.
What did you have Leading Edge previously? Did they drop at all with their loss to Highland Prep?
I think so. I think I had them at 6, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that. And if I didn't, so what?
I'm just saying, like, you have to penalize teams for losing. Even if it's to number 1 or number 2, they can't just stay the same.
Hey, worry about yourself, man.
I'm just saying, as a fanatic, right?
I'm just saying, when push comes to shove, when everything is said and done, it's like when Alabama lost, bro. They didn't really take that big of a hit. When Oregon
right, but they
loses,
took a hit though.
We don't
but they took a
we
hit.
Don't take a we don't take a big hit. When Texas loses, that's a little bit different, right? Because nobody likes Texas, and that's why they take the biggest of the hits.
Okay, so hold on though. But what you're saying then is it doesn't matter if Highland Prep loses or if ALA.
No, it does.
Perfect example.
Does.
No, perfect example. If we're going to
no,
go with what you said.
It does matter, big dog. No, it does matter.
If we're
going
to go with what you said, if ALA loses to Phoenix Christian or if Phoenix Christian loses to ALA, oh. It doesn't matter, and they
crazy.
Shouldn't.
Hey,
I'm just saying.
No,
if we're going with
crazy.
Your logic,
am I a dirtbag?
You are.
No, I am. You know why? Because I had Glendale at 7 last week. Wait. Oh no, I didn't move Leading Edge. I didn't move Leading Edge at all.
Yeah.
I didn't change anything for my 2A. Honestly, everything kind of stayed the same for me.
I'm just saying, and this is a prime example that I didn't see Reyes' top 10 before because I would have kind of told him this before. But what you're saying then is if Phoenix Christian loses to ALA, your number 5 loses to your number 3.
They will drop. Yes, they will drop.
No. I'm just saying let me finish. Your logic, though, says that you still think that they're better than PCD, so they should still be up above. That doesn't make – you can't do that. They lost, so they have to drop.
Okay. Hey, guess what? Let's just call a spade what a spade is. I didn't update my 2A top 10. Let's just call it what it is, big dog. And guess what you wanted to hear? Let's just hear it. I didn't update it.
Is it the same from last week?
It's the same from last week,
You're crazy,
dog.
Bro. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. It says November 20th. That's crazy. Okay, flip on back over to mine then. We just had that whole conversation. You didn't even update it.
I thought I could just kind of play it off, dude, but I couldn't.
Okay, so I got Glendale Prep, or I got Phoenix Country Day at number 6. They're going to be in action this week. I got number 7, Glendale Prep. They're 4-0 right now, and they are rolling. I'm going to get to see them play this Friday, which is going to be super exciting. Can't wait to just say what's up to Coach Roundy, too. I still got Bisbee at 8. They moved up only because of the loss of Leading Edge. I previously had Leading Edge a little bit higher, but they did lose to Highland Prep. They competed well. They're still in my top 10 because they competed so well against Highland, and they beat a really good ALA West Foothills team by 3. And I think it was the Valley Christian Classic.
Hey, man, West Foothills, man, to start the season, it hasn't been – probably what they thought, right? And I'm pretty sure we'll dive into that a little bit later and stuff.
Yeah.
But I just kind of wanted to throw that out there because, man, I wasn't expecting the start they have had so far.
Well, but they've been competing well, you know? And
no, they've been competing
great. They haven't
great.
Been able to get – yeah, I get what you're saying. They probably would have had different expectations for it. But this is a team that I think is going to be – I think the ALA West Foothills is going to be in our top 10 at some point in the year. I mean, if you look at Dayton Foster – what he's averaging right now, it's kind of ridiculous.
It's low key stupid, isn't it? We'll talk about that, dude. But it's kind of crazy. The numbers are like video game numbers.
It really is, and I'll just say it right now because I feel like it's that crazy. It's worth noting. But right now, ALA West Foothills Dayton Turner, their point guard, is averaging 27 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, and 8.3 steals. For all of you like not basketball, you know, statistical people, that is like almost a quadruple double, bro. Like, that's crazy. Like, 8.3 steals? Oh my, 11 assists?
It's Bo Jackson in the NFL game, dude. What's
it's
that game
wild,
called?
So yeah.
Bro,
anyways.
It's silly.
ALA West Foothills is a very talented team. So Leading Edge beating them is a big win for them. And then
absolutely.
Round Valley also dropped a little bit for me.
Mm-hmm.
They had a loss. Or they had a loss and then they beat somebody as well. So they're still in my top 10, but they're just kind of right there on there. Let's move on to the 1A because the 1A is a little bit interesting here.
The 1A.
And I want all of our listeners to be prepared.
Bro, this is crazy. Okay, so I did update my 1A and you updated yours and it's just bananas. And I hope everybody just rips you up, dude. Because that's
okay,
just...
So let's just talk about this, all right? So I'll just say my top 10. Okay. For my top 10, number 10, I have Williams. They had a big loss this week. So they dropped a little bit for me. Lincoln Prep is number 9. They're still in my top 10. Look, here's the thing. People have been hyping up Fort Thomas like crazy. I've been getting messages about them. Lincoln Prep faces off against the Gregory School, and the Gregory School handles business against Lincoln Prep. But then Lincoln Prep goes on the road and beats Fort Thomas on the road. So, I mean, I'm loving what I'm seeing from Lincoln Prep and the Lightning. I was wearing repping their shirt this weekend. I mean, I know you saw that. But
hey, I was repping Gilbert Christian's shirt when Gilbert Christian was playing Fountain Hills. Not just because, I mean, you know, shout out Coach Jay for hooking that up. I'm just saying, small ball teams, I know I do this every episode. We want your merch. And if you don't give us your merch, I hope you guys step on Legos.
Dang, what is with you and the Legos thing, dude?
That's like one of the worst pains you could probably ever experience in your whole life.
That's true. Okay, so Lincoln Prep, I like what I'm seeing from them, so I'm keeping them in my top 10. That's a huge win over Fort Thomas on the road. And then we got number 8, Seligman, who is brand new to the top 10. And I know that's a little bit odd looking for a lot of people.
It's freaking ridiculous, dude. You watch them play against Music Mountain, bro, and you don't even know who Music Mountain is. You probably just heard about them when you watch those little clips. I know what clips you're talking about, big dog.
No, but I also watched the game, too. And the reason I put Seligman in there is Seligman has two really exciting guards.
They do.
It is Carmelo Manicaja. Mm-hmm. And then Monte Walker. In this game against Music Mountain that I got to watch, Carmelo Manaka had 30 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. They ended up beating them 65-45. And I'm not putting a lot of stock into that win, but what I am saying is at the start of the season, because of these two guards that were returning for Seligman and other pieces, I had them right outside the top 10. So two people that dropped from the top 10 for me were Salome. And then also, who's the other team that just dropped? And Fort Thomas. Those two teams dropped out of the top 10. Seligman was right on the outside for me, and so was Joseph City. So both of those come in. And then Lincoln Prep and Williams, because they lost, I dropped them, and I put Joseph City and Seligman over them. And I want you guys to know there's flaws in that. But, dude, I was up, like, last night till, like, 1 a.m. just thinking through all these different scenarios, and this is what I felt best with. Cicero Prep is my number 6, and they started off their season with they had a rough couple games in the tournament, so they dropped and LCAT flipped them, but they had an awesome start to their season with Yurkowski hitting a clutch game winner to just open up their season. That was freaking awesome. I loved to see that.
Can I ask you a question, Louis?
Go ahead.
How upset are you that you're fighting frogs are not in the top 10? And there's a part two. Will they make their way back into the top 10?
I hope that they do. But judging off of everything that I've seen up to this point, I think they're right outside the top 10. They could get an awesome win. I'm not saying they can't do that. And anybody could do that. But right now, I don't know that they're one of the top 10 best teams in the 1A, which is why they're not in there. So, yeah, and I'm pretty depressed. I'm really depressed. I'm probably going to have another piece of pumpkin pie when I go home just because I'm mad about that. But, you know, it is what it is.
What's the best dessert that you can have for Thanksgiving? I'm not much of a dessert kind of guy, but I know that you are.
Pecan pie.
What would you say that pecan pie?
Mm-hmm. Pecan
pie. Above anything else,
pecan pie. Okay.
Above your family?
My family's not a dessert, bro. What are you talking about? Okay. Number 6, I have Cicero Prep. And then number 5, El Cap. You know, El Cap is hard for me, dude. They're playing like these, like New Mexico teams Utah teams or whatever that, like, it's hard to see if I don't know what they're like. So it's hard to gauge where they're at. Desert Christian, I have at 4. And then this is where things get really, really dicey. Okay. I have North Valley Christian at number 3.
I think rightfully so, though.
I have Babo at number 2, and I have a brand new number 1 in the 1A, which is the Gregory School. Now, here's why I'm all about this, okay? Because I was going back and forth about this, and this is kind of coming full circle from our talk about Pima. Would it be showing favoritism, even though the start that North Valley has had, to just keep them number 1? Even though we know that they're missing, they're not at full strength right now. But is it favoritism to just keep them number 1 because we know who they are?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. I think it absolutely is favoritism. Absolutely. And I think that that's not right. You know, we always talk about not being biased, except for the Frogs for me, and for you it's Holbrook, right? Mm-hmm. But we always talk about not being biased, and we're not. And what it really came down to, the Gregory School has had one of the best intros to small ball of any team, right?
Absolutely, yep.
And I was thinking about this. If I was going to present as of right now, currently, who was the best 1A team that could go and compete against another team, I would say it's probably the Gregory School. And they've had an awesome start to this. I also think that the Gregory School could have competed against the schools that North Valley played against currently right now in their tournament. They could have competed better. They might still lose those, but I think they would have done better. Babbo also played against bigger schools in these tournaments, and they competed like better than North Valley did against them. Now, they didn't play against as big a schools as North Valley did, but I think you understand my point. Now, North Valley, all of this is true because North Valley is not at full strength. If North Valley has all of their kids, they're still number one for me, right? But currently, right now, who's the best representative for the small ball in the 1A? I'd have to go with the Gregory School, and that's why they're my number one, and I feel really good about that. I don't know if you disagree. I mean, you have them number one as well, but I mean, what are your thoughts?
So for my top 10, I have the Gregory School at one, Babbo two, North Valley three, Desert Christian four, Cicero five, LCAP six. I didn't change LCAP or Cicero. I mean, shouts out to Yurkowski for a nasty game winner. Cicero actually has some pretty big games coming up this week that we'll get into. But no, overall, I think it would be very biased of us and just kind of unjust if we left North Valley at one, because the Gregory School has came knocking, man. They're here, man. I'm very excited for this team, and they're kind of upside. And hopefully, you never know, dude, because, I mean, between one, two, and three, I mean, this is potentially one of your state champ matchups that we're probably going to see in February, man. So,
right.
And then with that being said, you know, I have Williams at seven, Joe City at eight. They cracked the top 10 for me. Lincoln Prep dropped down to nine. And then while you threw Seligman at eight, I went ahead and threw Ash Fork at 10 because they opened up the season pretty good. I think they started off 3-0. So they did beat a notable team. Let me go to it real quick. Give me one.
Yeah, they have had a great start to their season, and I did see that.
Shout out Sonny, man. Let's go. So they opened up, they beat Baghdad, they beat a Red Mason, they beat a Rock Point. Rock Point was their closest game. There's a very good game and matchup.
Well, and for a lot of people, they were saying that Rock Point was one of their top 10 teams. It was one of ours, but for a lot of people, they were saying that it was one of theirs. So I think that's also worthy of note too, you know, because, yeah, I don't know. I think the 1A is a little bit interesting right now. And I think after this next week, everything's going to get a lot easier because everybody will have played and, you know, we can see some good 1A competition going up against each other.
Absolutely, man. I wholeheartedly agree with you, mate. Hashtag I agree.
Okay, so these are our updated rankings, and one of the things that was so fun about this week was looking at all these Thanksgiving tournaments. And Reyes, can you take the graphic off of our live stream thing? Reyes, yep. You tried your best to try and keep track of the record that small ball had over other stuff. Okay, so what do you got? How did small ball fare against a lot of these bigger schools in these tournaments? I'm thinking of Sunny Slope. I'm thinking of the Valley Christian Classic. Thinking of the Ben Franklin Classic. There's a bunch of others too.
Yeah, so the overall number of games, there were 76 games throughout as far as small ball and big school, right? And a big school is 4A and up. And then I also included like Shadow Hills and such as well.
Yeah.
We went for a record of 30-46. So that's a 65% of how small ball did against big schools, man. So that's actually really good. Shout out to the small ball for holding it down, dude. Was it better last year? Or is this
better this year? No, I think this year it was better for sure.
I think because I remember last year we wanted to do this and we're like, oh, we shouldn't do this because this is pretty bad.
Yeah, because remember we did you're exactly right. We did the exact same thing, and we were like, oh, the record's actually not that good. So we didn't end up sharing it because that was not great.
Yeah,
but huge shout out to all you small ball schools. We always say this, even though there was no small ball schools that won a big tournament, at least that I can think of. Palo didn't win their tournament, right? They lost one of the games.
Yeah, they lost.
But, you know, for all of you teams, one of the things that we always say is you plan these tournaments and you lose in November. So that way you can win in February, right? So that way you can win in the playoffs because for a lot of these teams.
That should be the tagline for us, man. That was a really good saying right there. I like that.
I've said that before. Do you just not listen to what I say?
Sometimes.
Okay. So that's our top 10. That's kind of how we did in these Thanksgiving tournaments and small schools going up against bigger schools. Reyes, are you ready to get into some matchups for this week? Because there's some great ones, bro.
Bro, right? Let's do it.
And I think what I'm most excited about is actually looking at some of the graphics that you made.
So it's so funny because as we're talking and stuff like that, I'm pretty sure you can notice on the screen. Shouts out to our social media guy, just kind of getting it done in a hurry. Some of the graphics look pretty good, man. So I'm pretty happy for what the social media or our social media guy does. He deserves a raise. So yeah, let's just jump right into it, man.
I agree. Before we get into our matchups, we did want to take a second and give a huge shout out to our partners over at Cloud9 Sports. I know you guys saw that we posted on our social media about a Black Friday sale, but these are guys that really care about the small ball schools. They did a special just for you guys. Go to our social media and check it out. And, you know, I said this on the live stream. I'm going to say it again. Like, they're different than these other sports apparel companies. We've used them for all of our events, and every single time we have loved what we've gotten from them. So just don't miss out on that. You can go to cloud9sports.com and fill out a little invoice and use the promo code all caps smallballarmy, and they'll take really good care of you for 10% discount. And then also you can send an email to cloud9roger@hotmail.com and he'll take really good care of you too. That's our guy though. He's our representative. And if you have any more questions, you can hit us up for it, but they'll take really great care of you because they love the small ball schools. Let's get into these previews or these matchups of the week, because I haven't looked at them at all, Ray. So this is all you, big dog. You are taking this by the reins and riding off into the sunset.
Let's do this, man. So to kick off Monday, there was three matchups that I kind of wanted to talk about. So let's just kind of jump into it. There was one that I didn't put up there, but I think it's notable. I'll just kind of say, I think it's Jogue City and Ash Fork. They play today. I forgot to make the graphic for that. I will have it done though for today's post.
Okay.
So you guys will see that out there. But just to share the screen for what I have, here we are.
So Joseph City and Ash Fork is going to be a good one. Ash Fork being in your top 10. And then, oh my gosh, forget it, dude. Let's just talk about this right here. Let's talk about this. Oh my gosh. Yes, yes.
Let's go. So a lot of people are probably wondering, I'm pretty sure Coach Hendy is wondering also why we didn't put them in the top 10 after, you know, having a pretty decent week, right? This is where the receipts are kept. This is where you put your money where your mouth is. This is where either me and Jeff are just completely morons and idiots, or we were right. But this is a great opportunity, not only for Horizon to potentially...
We were already wrong. We picked... I know, Ben we Franklin were to be
hey,
Horizon
hey,
Honor, so it's not
just
even.
Just rock with it. Rock with it, dude. Just rock with it. All right? Nah, but I love Coach Hendy. I love what Horizon Honors got going on over there, honestly. But this is a great matchup, I think. You know, this is at Rancho. So you have our number four, number five, Rancho Solano Mustangs versus the Eagles of Horizon Honors. How do you think the Eagles will fare soaring into the horse's den, the Mustang den?
Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. I think Horizon Honors has a huge advantage inside with McEnany. I mean, Rancho lost Ramos, right? And from everything Correct. That I know, they don't have the same size, not even the girth I'm talking about, but even just the length. So I could see McEnany really doing a lot of damage here. I mean, he's going to have a lot of mismatches. So I'm super Absolutely. Excited to see what kind of a game he can have. And he's going to be key in really challenging shots as those Rancho guards get into the lane. I'm also so excited to see these Rancho guards and see how much they've improved. But this is a great matchup, dude. I love it. I mean, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, what do you think is a huge key to the game for both of these?
I think a huge key is how to limit, how do you say his last name? I'm just going to say Matthew. How to keep Matthew out of the paint, man. Probably make him more of a shooter, to be honest with you, because I think Horizon Honors will have the size advantage there. I think you're correct about that. And then limiting Horizon Honors' touches in the paint. I think that stopping these guards, because we know that something about Horizon Honors, man, their guards are quick. They're very shifty. They like to get into the paint, kick out. I think if Ranjo plays to the game, and I think if Ranjo can throw a little bit of pressure at Horizon Honors to kind of shake them up a little bit, just knowing that Horizon Honors in the past hasn't really fared well against some pressure, I think if Ranjo can kind of mix it up with that, I think they'll be in pretty good company. Overall, I'm just super excited for this matchup. I think it's fair to say that I'm going to go ahead and take, because it's at the Mustang Den, I'm going to go ahead and go Ranjo plus 10.
Yeah, I'm going to go... I think a key for Horizon Honors, I mean, they have the advantage on the size or whatever, but they're going to have to challenge shots for Ranjo. And I know that sounds so elementary, but Ranjo has a bunch of guards that can shoot the ball. They can really get into the lane. But when they get those kickouts, if McEnany is really challenging those shots and forcing kickouts, they've got to get out there and challenge shots. If Ranjo is held to like less than, I don't know, like three wide open shots, I think that's going to be really good. But I also give the edge to Ranjo on this. I say it's like plus six, though. I think it's a lot closer, and I think Horizon Honors is going to have a chance here to really do some stuff. Another huge advantage that Horizon has over Ranjo is Horizon's already played. Ranjo, this is their first action that they're going to have of the season, so it's going to be interesting for them moving forward.
I agree, man. I think that's a pretty solid take. I'm very excited, dude. I'm really excited for Coach Hendy for the receipts, man. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, you ready to move on to the next one?
Let's do it.
I thought this one was kind of interesting, to be honest. It doesn't, like, throw your hair back. I honestly did it because of the graphic. But I think this is a fun one.
And like Saint I said, David we get versus Morenci, and this is Monday. This is tonight, right?
This is tonight.
Yeah. So Saint David
tonight.
Versus
Morenci. Sorry.
Okay. I'm a rock with Saint David on this one. They did lose a lot from last year, but you could make an argument that they potentially could be a top 10 team in the 1A. I like Saint David in this matchup. And is this at home or is it away?
This will be at Morenci. That's why I thought it was kind of interesting, because it's a little bit different. It's at the Wildcat Den. You never know what could happen, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, give me St. David plus 10 on this one.
St. David plus 10. I hope somebody's keeping track of our record, honestly, because I know we said we would do that, but I bet you don't know your record.
I do know my record, actually.
You're such a liar. But okay, I'm going to go ahead and say Morenci. I'm going to go Morenci plus 6.
Okay.
Okay. I think you're going to like this one for nostalgic reasons.
No, we're still on Monday?
We're still on Monday.
Okay. Why are you doing this to me, bro? Huh? Why are you doing this? Salom versus North Valley Christian. Bro, this actually made me mad. I want you to move on to the next one.
No, dude, talk about it. Let's hear it. I want to hear
your
thoughts.
North Valley is going to have this. You know, I give North Valley the edge. You know, I love Salom. But, like, you know, North Valley is in a much different spot than Salom is. So, yeah, I'm just going
to
say
don't
that.
You don't think Salome's going to be able to compete at all, Big Dog?
I didn't say they couldn't compete, but, I mean,
that's what you
judging
said.
Are you
saying right here and now that Jeffrey Luetta, Salom Fighting Frog lover, that Salome
you know
is
what,
not
dude?
Able to compete.
You know what? Salome plus 40, bro. Salome plus 40, dog. That's what's going on right now.
You're so silly. No, okay. I feel that. I get that. Yeah, I got North Valley, even while they're down, I got them plus 15.
Yeah,
respectfully.
No, I agree. You know, they're just in two very different spots. Even with North Valley being shorthanded, I think North Valley is going to take care of business here. Is this at North Valley, you said?
Yeah, dude, this is at North Valley too. Okay. It's gonna get dicey for them, but I thought it was kind of fun for you just to see the Fighting Frogs again.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious, and I have a special pair of lucky socks that I wear. Coach Will over at Salome, if you're listening to this, and any Salome fans that are listening to this, I'm going to be wearing my lucky socks for you guys against North Valley because, you know, I got nothing but love for the Frogs, dude.
I absolutely love that. Okay, here we go. We're going to move on to Tuesday now. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
There's two matches for Tuesday, and we kind of brought it up earlier. Let's get right into it. So here's the first matchup for Tuesday. I thought this one was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. That is an interesting one. Ben Franklin and this at one, Fountain Hills.
At Fountain Hills, correct. This is at Fountain Hills.
I'm still going to give the edge to Fountain Hills on this one.
Ooh, interesting. Let's hear it.
I think that there's a couple like level tiers of teams in the 3A, and I think Gilbert Christian is that top tier, and like along with Valley Christian and all that, I think Fountain Hills is in that next level tier right now. Currently, I think they can get up and improve, you know, and they will. But as of right now, you know, come Tuesday, that I think that's where they're at. I think Ben Franklin. I think Fountain Hills is still going to be a little bit too much for Ben Franklin. And my gut tells me to go with Fountain Hills on this one. But Ben Franklin's, they've got an interesting, do you have your, actually, I'll pull it up right now. An interesting schedule. They've actually got a loaded schedule, Ben Franklin does. If we want to look at their schedule for a sec, they could have one of the toughest schedules in the 3A. They played against Horizon Honors, lost to them. They beat Chandler Prep. If you look at everybody who they played, they had some notable wins here. They beat Coronado in the Ben Franklin Classic, and they beat Holbrook by 7. Beat Trivium. You know, they ran away with Trivium a little bit. And they lost to Westview. So they play at Fountain Hills Tuesday, and then they play Santan Charter. Dude, listen to this gauntlet, bro. Oh my gosh, this is what I was talking about, right? So from November 28th through December 13th, they play at Fountain Hills. They play Santan Charter. They play at Valley Christian, Gilbert Christian, at Northwest. That is our number 10, our number 1 in the 2A, number 2 for you, our number 1 in the 3A, our number 2 in the 2A, and our number, 8 or 6? I think it's 6 in the 3A in Northwest.
Correct.
I mean, dude, that's a freaking loaded gauntlet between November 28th to December 13th. So, I mean, Ben Franklin is going to be one of those teams who their strength of schedule is freaking through the roof. But, I mean, man, they're going through it with all this stuff.
How do you think Ben Franklin fares in some of those? If you had to take a prediction right now of percentage of – or not even percentage. Yeah, let's go percentage. Like, what's the percentage they win majority of those games, if you had to say?
I think that their opponent is favored in each of those games.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say as well. Mm-hmm. I agree.
But Ben Franklin's a great squad, and they've got great players, and I really love how they're coached, and I like their program that they have. I feel like they've been a competitive program for years, and anybody who plays against them would tell you the same thing. But I think they're still just kind of on the outside of that tier of those teams that they're playing against. And I could be wrong, but that's just kind of where I'm at with it.
Dude, when are we ever wrong, though? Let's talk about that. When are we ever wrong?
Pretty often.
We're pretty wrong pretty often. I agree.
Okay, let's move on.
Move on. Oh, wait. What's your point spread on this? Fountain Hills plus what?
I get Fountain Hills. Let's just go plus.
I'm going to go plus 5. I think it's a closer game.
I was
going
to say plus 8.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. Let's move on to the next one.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, bro. This is one of my favorites that you've ever done. The Heroes, bro.
The Heroes.
Hey, these graphics are getting out of control, bro.
Bro, it really is, honestly, but it's so fun.
So a year ago, we were playing against Heritage Academy in football, and I was doing the chains for the game. And if you don't know this, Heritage Academy, bro, I love this matchup, actually. Heritage Academy's tough, dude.
Dude, they're tough. I thought
they are not bad at all. But PCD is really tough. So, okay, here's what I feel like. I'll finish this. We're playing against Heritage Academy in football. And if you don't know this, the mascot for Heritage Academy, they're the Heroes. And there was a player from Heritage Academy that got hurt and he was down. And people from the sideline just started yelling, "Hey, there's a hero down on the field." And I just felt like this need to help them. I was like, oh my gosh, it's a hero. We've got to save him, you know, which was so,
it was so stupid,
but it felt like it was an emergency because it was a hero, you know? But yeah, dude, Heritage Academy at PCD, right?
Yes, correct. At PCD.
Okay. And this is the season opener for both of these. Oh, bro, this is such a good one. So I'm going to say this. Heritage Academy is going to surprise a ton of people this year. I think PCD, though, is going to be a little bit too much for them. Heritage Academy will, I think, compete really well in this game. But I think at the end of the day, PCD just shoots way too well at home. They play too well at home to kind of lose this home opener. And, you know, Coach Lewis is going to have them clicking on all cylinders. I think a key for Heritage is they're going to have to limit the transition shooting of PCD. They've got about 3 or 4 kids that can just light it up. And once they get going in transition, it's just a snowball. And it's really those transition threes that I feel like really gets them going. And I mean, that's going to be an issue for them to really think through. And so I think that's a key for Heritage. And I think a key for PCD is keeping their athletic guards out of the lane. Heritage has got some guards that can really break you down and get into the lane. If PCD can limit them from doing that, you know, they're going to be limited to contested shots, contested threes. That's going to be really good. But if they get into the lane and start kicking out for threes and all that, I mean, they can heat up just as well as PCD can. So I like this matchup. I'm going to go with PCD. I'm going to say PCD is favored by, I'm going to say PCD is favored by 6.
I think that's fair to say, man. Like I said, it is at PCD. PCD, I think it's fair to say that PCD is one of the toughest places to play at in small ball. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. I think part of I think for our kids, because our kids come from a very different vibe, is like the kids are just like, oh my God.
I love
God.
How you said vibe. I love that. That's like the best
I didn't
want to
be like disrespectful to our own kids. But, like, you know, it's just a different vibe than what we're all used to, you know. It's a different vibe than what I'm used to growing up.
Absolutely.
And you walk in.
A very different vibe than what I'm used to.
I know. I remember the first time we went there, one of our kids was like, oh, my God, that's a Corvette. And like, I never did a Lamborghini. And I'm like, bro, have you never seen one of those? I'm like, I've never seen one. It's just really funny.
It really is.
It's a tough place to play at, but I give PCD the advantage here, but Heritage Academy is going to be – the hero is going to have a chance to take down the Eagle.
Yeah, no, and I think there's I think the heroes have a very good chance. Like
I love
said,
this pick, dude. This is a great pick.
Isn't it awesome? Shout out to our social media guy, dude, for getting it done. But no, I agree with you, dude. I think that Heritage has a very good chance. I think PCD might be a little bit too much to them. The weapons that they have right now, you know it's pretty tough to say the least with Jerkins. Blake, I don't even want to try to say his name.
Sosnowitz.
And then you got the son of the GM.
Jones.
I mean, that trio right there is just super tough to fare against. I'm going to go. What'd you say the spread was again? I'm sorry.
I said +6.
+6. I'm going to go PCD. I'm going to go +12. I think because of that PCD is a pretty weird place to play at. I think they're going to be able to extend this a little bit more.
Okay. Let's move on to the next one.
So now we are moving on into Wednesday. The only reason why I said this is kind of weird because it's at Borgade. I thought we haven't really talked about much about Coolidge. Coolidge did have a pretty good weekend overall. So I thought this would be kind of a fun matchup to just kind of talk about a little bit. Nothing crazy. To say the least, though, I got Coolidge. I'm going to go +15 against the Eagles at Borgade.
Yeah, I give Coolidge plus like 14, 16. I think Coolidge is, even with a lot of the losses.
I thought
you were
about to get really disrespectful.
No, I was going to say 50 or something. My God.
Yeah, I was like, what are you about to say, dude?
Come on, bro. I couldn't do Big O like that.
Big O, dude.
There's no way I could do that. But yeah, I got Coolidge plus about, you know, 16, 14, right around there. And, you know, the thing with Coolidge that is actually really scary, you know, they did open up with a great start to their season. We didn't talk about it much because a lot of the teams that they were playing against, if I remember right, they're like kind of mid-major 5A, 4A type stuff.
Correct, yeah.
So Coolidge is going to be coming hungry, right? Like they want to prove that. I mean, I remember them commenting on some of the – like we posted about Carlos Coronado transferring, and a lot of the kids were like, hey, next man up, like we're ready to go, which is awesome. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of kids that are out here to prove something. Coolidge has always got great athletes, and they play with such a tough mentality. So, I mean, I got Coolidge on this one, and I'm excited to see them in action against Borgade because, you know, Coach Otis, I mean, he doesn't lack any confidence. He kind of, like, oozes confidence, and I think it spills over to his kids.
I think so, too, man. And if he could throw some weird pressure at Coolidge, you know what I mean, maybe slow the game down just a little bit to give him a shot. I can see that really making it and shaking things up for the Eagles. But yeah, I guess I have plus 15 against the Eagles.
Okay, let's move on to the next one.
Okay, the next one.
Gosh, dude, this is so fun. I love doing this. I forgot about this, bro. Okay.
So this is Wednesday. So I thought this was actually a pretty low, under the radar kind of a matchup, right? As to say the least. What's your overall thoughts?
Well, my favorite thing about matchups like this is we're going to find out everything that we need to know about Bisbee. You know, Bisbee has got like some really good players. They got one in particular that's returning who I'm really excited to see. The Gregory School, we've talked a lot about them. This is a game that is at Bisbee, I'm assuming, right? It's on the road?
Correct.
For the Gregory School? Okay, so the Gregory School has been on the road already. I'm excited about this. I'm going to give the favor to the Gregory School because when I think of Bisbee, I think of like a couple players that they really have. Mm-hmm. And
okay.
The Gregory School has more – I mean, they're a little bit more of a complete team than I think Bisbee is at this point from what I currently know. I could be wrong on that, but from what I currently know, that's kind of where I'm at with it. I give the Gregory School – I favor them plus 12.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, the Gregory School right now is like they're literally sizzling right now. I think it's fair to say they've came out ready to go. Yeah, this game is interesting. I like what you said that a lot of our answers will be answered by the Pumas of Bisbee. It could be a very tough matchup for the Gregory School traveling on the road, but I think that the Gregory School is pretty content on the road. To be honest with you, I'm gonna go with the Gregory School. I think they're going to kind of have their way against Bisbee. I don't know if Bisbee will be able to have an answer for the young freshman and Rosin Smith. I'm going to go the Gregory School plus 18.
Okay. Let's move on to the next one. Are we still on Wednesday or are we going to Thursday now?
This is the last matchup on Wednesday.
Small ball's back, bro. There's so many games. I love it.
Small ball is back, dude.
We're going to see Desert Christian in action for the first time at home. Hayden versus number 4, Desert Christian. I've got to give it to Desert Christian on this one. Desert Christian returns so much. They have their impact players back. Hayden has had kind of a rocky start to the year for themselves. Again, they're still rebounding. They're going to get better, right? So Hayden showing here against Desert Christian versus how they fared against the Gregory School is going to be very different. Because Hayden was still kind of recovering after winning the 1A football 8-man championship. So, I mean, they're going to be better. They have more practice under their belt. But I still give the edge to Desert Christian here. Only advantage that Hayden has here is they've already played against some really great competition leading up into this matchup. But I like Desert Christian on this one. And I'm going to favor Desert Christian. I'm going to say plus 10.
Desert Christian plus 10? Man, can we shout out, what's his name? Mike Esperanza? Is that his name?
Esparza, uh-huh. Dude, this guy is our plug, dude. Shout out to you, Mike.
Bro, yeah,
you're
I was
going to
say, just give him some love, dude. Because, I mean, for what he does, it has not gone unnoticed, man. The constant updates has been great. We really appreciate everything that you do for Small Ball and for for Desert Christian.
Us, I mean, he helps us like crazy with some input.
He helps us a ton, man, honestly. And like I said, that's why I wanted to give him a shout out just because I just want to let you know that your hard work does not go unnoticed. That is why you're one of our tier one members. That's why he's one of our, you know,
lieutenants.
Like I said, dude, he falls in line, man. He's a lieutenant, man. He is leading the army as well, just helping out, making sure that everything is going afloat, dude. And so, yeah, just a quick shout out like that, dude. I thought it was kind of nice of him to always be a part of that. Okay. Woo. Let's move on. Oh, yeah. I have Desert Christian. Sorry about that. I just kind of go on a little rant right there saying thanks. I have Desert Christian. I think they take care of business at home against Hayden. I'm going to go plus. Let's go plus 8.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. So okay, now so we're
next
moving
up
on Thursday.
Is Thursday. Okay.
Next up is Thursday. There's only really one game that I thought was kind of worthy of talking about for Thursday. So let's just get into it. I thought this was a fun one.
Okay, so matchup on Thursday. Ooh, dude, I freaking love these graphics, bro. Northwest Christian against Payson. Now, I'm actually going to let you take the reins on this one, pun intended, because you watched Payson quite a bit. What are your thoughts on Payson? How do you think they fare against Northwest Christian at home?
It was fun watching Payson. Like I said, I got to watch them a little bit throughout the week in their little tournament. The game that I really was able to watch was their loss, actually, against Push Ridge. Shouts out Mason Hope for hitting that game winner against Payson. But what I really saw was Payson's grit and just their overall toughness and just being able to stay in the game, right? When you see Payson and Push Ridge, what do you automatically think? Do you expect Payson to kind of hang in there with a Push Ridge?
With a Push Ridge or with a Northwest?
With a Push Ridge.
I would say no. I would say Push Ridge would pull away. And
so then the next question, would you expect a Payson to hang with a Northwest?
No, I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. And, you know, and that's like all love and stuff like that. But what Payson has this year, what I think is a little bit different, man, is I kind of like their team, man. They have a pretty decent set of guards that can handle the ball first and foremost. But not only that, they really attack the basket really hard, man, and they rebound. So I think that's one thing about Payson. They crash the boards all together. The Longhorns do a really great job of that. They do have some size. Anderson Hatch has been playing like a stud as of late. I really like this matchup for Payson because this will tell me a lot about Payson as well going against our number 6 Northwest Christian, right? I think it has fireworks written all over, especially because it's at Payson. You know how Payson is at their place. It can get a little dicey sometimes. And
that's such a cool place to play at, though, the Dome. You got to love it.
The Dome, dude. It is so cool. And so that's why I'm pretty overall just excited about it, to say the least. I think it's going to be a good game. I think these two teams are very physical. I think it's safe to say that both these teams are football teams. And I'm just very curious.
See, what makes me excited about Northwest Christian, though, is I feel like this year they are much less of a football team than they have been in the past.
Explain on that.
Like, I feel like in the past, Northwest has had, like, a lot of really big guards, a lot of really big, you know, players on the inside. And the skill is a little bit lacking. I feel like now, when you look at Northwest Christian, I'm thinking about their JV squad from last year. They had some really good guards. They also had some really good young guards that floated and got some good minutes on varsity and really made an impact there. So, I mean, this team is a little bit more skilled than what they've had in the past, I feel like. I feel like Northwest Christian, it usually takes them a little bit. I think back to last year, dude. Remember in North Valley's tournament, Northwest Christian played against somebody. I don't remember who it is, but, man, they had a terrible showing. And they got better throughout the year, obviously, right? They did really good and they improved. I feel like it usually takes Northwest a little bit to get going. I feel like they're going to start off a little bit better than they have in the past, and I think they're just going to continue to improve. So that's what I mean by that. I feel like they have a little bit more skill and like basketball players than they've had in the past. I give Northwest Christian the advantage here. I say Northwest Christian plus 4. The biggest key is going to be how well can Northwest Christian shoot with their first game on the road in Payson. You know, it's going to be cold. So that, for me as a shooter, that always played a part in. Like, I felt cold and I felt like I wouldn't shoot good.
What was your best shooting night in the cold, would you say?
If like you just outside had to just, in the cold?
just in the cold in general, right? Like, what would you say is your best?
My best shooting night was in probably...
Because, you know, some people shoot better in the cold. I know a couple of people that are able to really light it up from three in the cold.
My best shooting night was probably, I went 2 for 13 against our rivals.
2 for 13. Hey, you know what I noticed, dude? Why haven't you talked about your... So, for those of you guys listening, Lou went to Texas pretty recently, and he got...
I don't want to talk about that.
No. I'm just going to give you praise. We don't got to dive into it or anything like that, but I do want to give you praise because from what it sounded like, from when you called me, I heard you went off, man, to say the least. Is that fair to say?
I had a pretty good showing with some people from back home, but, you know.
Is it fair to say that you are him?
No, it's not fair to say that I'm him.
Why wouldn't you say that, dude?
Let's move on to our next one, bro.
Okay. Okay, hold up. Give me like a quick
If you don't even have the graphic, that's okay. Let's just get into it and talk about it. That's fine.
I'll post it and then we'll talk about it. But the graphic for Friday, man, there's a couple of like honorable mentions. But the game of the week for me is PC and ALA, man. It's going to be a really great game.
You know, we've talked about this a lot behind closed doors. And just so you know, we're going to do our in-depth game preview for this on Patreon. So, I mean, if you want to hear more about this, just be on the lookout for the post on Patreon. But that's going to be a really great matchup that's coming. And, I mean, shoot, man. Who do you have in this game, Phoenix Christian or ALA?
I'm going to save my answer for the Patreon. So if you guys want to hear our answers and everything like that, man, you need to join the army. I know that some of our platoon is already in, so they're waiting, dude. But like I said, for those of you guys that are barely joining on or have been thinking about it, now is the time to join the army. Get led by your 4-star and 5-star general, man, and hear our predictions in our game breakdown for this amazing matchup on Friday.
You know what I'm going to say, though, is I can't wait. Okay, Phoenix Christian has a huge advantage here, though, over ALA.
They do, but this is at ALA.
I know, but still, Phoenix Christian has a crazy advantage. They've already been playing against really great competition. And think about how much we've been hyping up ALA. Think about how crazy hungry Phoenix Christian is going to come out playing, bro.
I know, dude. I know.
This is going to be an awesome matchup.
Phoenix does. I mean, it's obviously everybody knows this. PC has the athleticism, man. But
ALA is athletic, too. They just don't have the same level of size and length.
The same level of size and length, but that what they have is a Stephen Iron Shell, man, who can just end anybody's night. And, God, he can just shoot the ball very well. They're very smart. They're very cerebral players. Man, I don't know. And like I said,
this is a great matchup, bro. I can't wait.
It's such a great matchup, and this is probably one of the matches we should have did for a post-game live show, right? Because it's literally perfect. I think I looked at my schedule and everything like that, dude. I might be pulling up to that game. So if PC and ALA are listening, dude, just know that, you know, there might be a guest appearance from Small Ball. Pulling up into the gym.
Okay. You better be wearing your shirt, big dog.
I'll be wearing it, dude. I'll be out there living life.
Okay, let's move on to the next one.
So I didn't make a graphic because these are some honorable mentions, right? But I thought they were noted. So for Friday, you do have Desert Christian versus Parker, man. Or a Parker versus Horizon Honors.
Okay, let's go Desert Christian versus Parker.
And then there's a Santan and Ben Franklin matchup on Friday as well.
Let's talk about that Desert Christian and Parker matchup. Because let's talk about Parker for a second.
Talk about it, dude. They're probably waiting for us to talk about them.
Here, can you take the graphic off the screen right now? So, when it comes to Parker, Parker is a team that is going to surprise a lot of people. Now, I still think. In their region, it's ALA West Foothills or Yuma Catholic first, ALA West Foothills. And I think Parker is still that third team from the outside. But Parker's going to have a chance to really contend and surprise some people. They got a really good squad. They've got some good players. They got some kids that can shoot the ball. They got some guards that can go that have some good size. This is a great matchup for Desert Christian. Bro, if Desert Christian can win this game, is this at Parker?
This is during the PCD tournament.
Oh, okay. Got you. So that tournament is this week, huh?
Correct.
So if Desert Christian can beat Parker, that says a lot about their squad.
Absolutely.
For all you Desert Christian fans out there, you're going to know what we're talking about once Parker starts to get going and playing. They've got a good team. And honestly, they're a little bit underrated. We haven't really like hyped them up a whole lot, partly because we want to see them play in the regular season. We saw them play a ton this summer, and we were surprised with how good they were. I'm
very surprised, honestly. I think for me, like I said, I think you said Parker at three. I actually have Parker and ALA West Foothills as of right now, just kind of tied at two. And like I said, dude, I just kind of like what Parker has, but like, who knows, right? There's a lot of factors, and I'm pretty sure as the season goes on, we'll talk a little bit more about Parker and some of the factors that could prevent them from being the team that they could be, right? And that some of the things that we've seen already, that it's kind of funny, right? It's just a typical Parker team, to say the least.
There's always some interesting things with Parker. You know what I mean?
And so, like I said, but they do have a great group of young men that can really turn some heads if they stay level-headed overall throughout the season.
Yeah. So what would you say would be the biggest key for Desert Christian in order to win this game? Because, I mean, this is 1A to 3A, and this is actually a 3A team that we talked about putting in the top 10.
We didn't, but
we really talked about it, and we actually really talked about it for a little bit. Let's talk about this, and then we'll get out of here.
What do I think Desert Christian needs to do to beat Parker?
Mm-hmm. Like, to give them the best chance at competing.
Man, I mean, like I said, obviously, right, it's just kind of black and white, but you have to make shots against Parker, man. They are pretty lethal in transition. It's going to be hard finishing in the paint, man, because they do have, like, their big. I think he's about 6'4", 6'5". His timing is very good. But if you can get him into foul trouble, I think that helps your odds very well. And then how do you limit Parker's guards, right? What can you do to slow them down a little bit? How can you shake them out of their running their sets? I think that's very key for Desert Christian overall. Because like Parker, they can press you, right? I'm assuming they're going to kind of go at Desert Christian early, try to shake them out of their boots. But if Desert Christian can stay level-headed throughout the game, I think they can kind of keep it close. You know, anything can happen at that point, especially in tournament play.
Well, here's the big thing to think about against Parker is they always run that extended 2-3 trap, right? It's super aggressive. They trap you in the top. They trap you in the corners. So Desert Christian's going to have to be able to handle that. You can practice against it, but there is an element where you just have to kind of play out of it and play basketball in the game situation. So them being able to handle that, I think, is going to be the biggest key for them.
Limit turnovers, man. And that, yeah, like I say, because Parker, man, they do a great job in that extended 2-3 zone. It's just kind of weird, right? And if you're not taking care of the ball, man, like I say, it's going to be a long night for Desert Christian.
Okay, so those are our matchups of the week. Reyes, unless you had any other matchups that you wanted to highlight.
Let me just take a quick peek real quick, just because there was a couple. No, actually, that's it, man.
Okay, perfect.
That's pretty much it.
Okay, well, we are so excited because Arizona Small Ball, you know, this episode was longer, which is awesome because that means that there's a lot more games and there's a lot more to talk about. So it's super fun to be back in the heat of the season. For all of you guys who have been tagging us and things, sending us stats and info, man, we so appreciate that. Keep doing that because it just helps our perspective. And, you know, there's only two of us and we watch a lot of different things and we have a lot of plugs all over the place, but any extras that we can get is always super helpful. So we appreciate that from you guys. Reyes, what do you got?
What could we do? How can we get all these teams to jump on the game changer for us?
I don't know. I think it's a conversation behind closed doors.
You know what I mean, though? I'm just saying. I'm just talking out loud. But I think there's something there that we could do. Just because, like I said, when you took stats, man, pretty good stats, by the way. I'll tip my hat off to you for that, for the Gilbert Christian game. That was awesome. But, yeah, like I said, just keep sending us stats. Keep supporting the pod. If you know friends or family that are into small ball that come watch games, tell them about the podcast. Like I said, let's really grow this thing for year 4. And yeah, and join the Army, man. Like I said, Friday, ALA, PC, man. If you want to hear that, tune in.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Arizona Small Ball Podcast, and we will catch you guys either on Patreon later this week or next week for our next episode. Stay strong. Small ball out.